Today's show is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you've got roaches in your house and you want to see a video I made years and years and years ago, go to HelpIHaveBugs.com. That's HelpIHaveBugs.com. HelpIHaveBugs.com. All right, what you need to know is that my son, my youngest son, thinks I'm a nut. My 32-year-old daughter is mad at me. My daughter-in-law, I don't think, is really happy with me at this time. Let's see, who else is mad at me? Any ex-wives mad at me? I'm sure that at least one of them is mad at me over this issue, but she probably doesn't know about it yet. But she will find out. Everybody's mad because I didn't buy the damn electric lawnmower. Oh, hi, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek in charge. I'm sitting here in, you know, ready to leave any moment to head to Orlando, Florida, where I will be a speaker at PodFest at the Wyndham Hotel. If you're going to be in Orlando, well, I mean, it's too late. It's too late because this airs on Saturday and my speaking engagement was on Thursday. But I will still be there on Saturday. If you are interested in becoming a podcaster, just show up. Just show up at the Wyndham. Go to PodFest. Look them up on the internet. I don't know what their website is. And just show up. It's Saturday. Just show up. You won't have a badge, but, you know, just look important. Get a clipboard. I'm going to tell you, my son Zach tells me you can get away with anything if you have a clipboard. Anyway, I am the chief geek in charge here at Ask the Garden Geek, and yes, I was going to buy an electric lawnmower, and no, I bought a 51-year-old blue, what is it called? I've been having one of these things. Blue Boy. I bought a 51-year-old Blue Boy lawnmower with the original engine, with the original everything, except there's a new blade on it. It has the original muffler, and the muffler looks rough. The muffler looks really, really rough. So we may have to deal with the muffler situation here pretty soon. I'm going to tell you the reason I wanted to go with an electric mower is that I wanted to be kind to the environment because lawn equipment is not regulated as far as emissions are concerned. And everybody's got lawnmowers and weed trimmers and everything. And I have gone most of the way electric. I've gone most of the way electric, except for the lawnmower. And this year, I was going to buy the eGrow electric lawnmower, battery operated. I was all set. I was going to buy this thing. Went to Home Depot to buy it. They were out. I said, okay. You know. And then I went on the internet and I saw a friend of mine named John, and from high school, he was in a band. I mean, he's an old hippie. And he had pictures of Blue Boy mowers. He collects them. And I said, you got any of those? He goes, yeah, I got one. I'll sell you like real cheap. And I said, I'm on my way. Give me your address. I'm coming. I went, and this thing has a 6-horsepower motor. It is self-propelled, all done with belts. If you want to adjust the blade, it's a giant operation. It is an absolute giant operation to adjust the blade. And, you know, it is... You know, you've got to, it takes an hour to adjust the blade. And I have the blade right where I want it. I'm happy to say I won't be adjusting the blade anymore. Nothing about this thing is easy, except for when you pull the rope on it one time, it starts up. Yes, a little bit of smoke billows out. Okay, maybe a lot of smoke billows out. But I'm going to tell you something. We've been having this warm weather, except right now it is so darn cold. See, I was going to say another word, but I said darn. I'm getting better. You know, I'm just getting better, except for when I do public speaking. If you ever come to see me doing public speaking, don't bring your kids, okay, because I just let it fly. But when I'm on radio, I don't. But anyway, I am just, you know, today the lawn needed mowing again. You know, it just needed mowing. So this morning, I just went out there. It was cold. I put on my hoodie. You know, and I went out there. I said, it's cold. It's not going to start. I pulled it out there. I checked the oil in it. You know, very careful about that because John told me, he says, always check the oil. I checked the gas. had a full tank of gas. I started that thing. I just pulled it one time, started right up. Before, you know, just boom, goes the dynamite. Self-propelled, plopped that thing in, and started mowing the yard. I had the front yard mowed in no time. Backyard was a little bit taller, hadn't been mowed in a while. So I went, you know, to the backyard. I was a little bit nervous, but I went to the backyard. It just cut through that grass like it was butter. I'm telling you, it loud as hell because the muffler, it's the original muffler. It's got some holes in it. John said he's looking for options for the muffler because you can't buy that particular muffler anymore. But he said he's going to find something soon. He promises. And, you know, I just was so excited about this. I was just so darn excited about this, and I still am. So I've got this, you know, I mowed the lawn, then I edged the lawn, then I blew the lawn, and, you know, I just smiled. But, you know, my sons, you know, my daughter, my 32-year-old daughter said, "Dad, you're polluting the earth." I said, "Sweetheart, I've been polluting the earth my whole damn life." "Okay, just, you know," she goes, "I understand." I said, "I believe on the property that you live in." She lives out in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. And when I say in the middle of nowhere, she lives, you know, the only reason they moved out there to the middle of nowhere is they stuck a cell tower down the road from the property that she has. They've got quad runners out there, and they're running all over the place on these quad runners. I said, you know, talk about me. I mow the lawn once a week. You're out every day on the quad runners. You know, every day you guys are out running around in those quad thingies. And, you know, gas is billowing out of this. Okay, I forgive you. But you should think about going. I said, I will when this thing dies. I said, it's lasted 51 years. I'm old now. I'm thinking, you know, if it lasts another 10 years, I'll be done anyway. So, you know, it's okay. But I love this mower. I am emotionally attached to my Blue Boy mower. I just think it's the coolest thing in the world. I like it a lot. So, that is just the way it is. There is just the way it is. I love my Blue Boy mower. It's power mower. I saved a lot of money. I think I paid, you know, $25. I gave John $25, $30. And I got, you know, the it was going to cost me $600 for the e-gro. So I got money to spend on other things. And guess what I got? You're going to love this. I got a Tascam DR40 audio recorder. It's a high-end portable audio recorder that you can plug an XLR microphone, which I happen to have, into. And when you're out banding about, you can take this thing with you. So that's what I'm going to do. I've taken it with me, you know, to Orlando, and I'm going to be interviewing people in Orlando and doing another podcast all about that. But when I'm here, I'm going to be out with this thing, and I'm going to be interviewing people about their problems in their garden. You know, now I just go up and I show up. Now when I show up, I'm going to show up with my little portable, fits in my pocket, recorder, and I'm going to talk to these people and I'm going to record it. And guess what? You get to hear it. You'll be able to hear it. I will edit these things down. I got, you know, it's going to take me a little while to get used to this equipment and to do all of this, but it's really cool. You know, and it's a pretty high-end recorder. It's a four-track. It's pretty high-end. I'm pretty impressed with it. I was playing. It just came today. And I've been playing with it a little bit, and I don't need to be playing with it. I need, you know, I got to get, you know, I got stuff to do. So, but I'm taking it with me to, you know, do the inaugural run in Orlando, and then I am just, you know, I'm coming back, and I'm heading out to the gardens, and I'm going to be looking at stuff. You know, it's going to be fun. So once again, I am looking forward to that. I, you know, love expanding my technology. It's just going to be so cool. Oh, by the way, speaking of expanding my technology, the other night I was teaching, Friday night, I was teaching a podcasting class at the Tampa Bay Technology Center, where we have a wonderful studio. I actually did last week's show from there, as a matter of fact. Now this week I am in, you know, I am in my home studio, but I did the show from there last week. Anyway, Friday night I'm in there, and I'm explaining to my podcast audience about my new lawnmower. And they're like looking at me like I'm nuts. You know, my new 51-year-old lawnmower. And this woman is just like insane. She says, and by the way, I'm a very perceptive guy, getting ever so slightly off topic. I thought this woman was interested in me. until I told her about how my ex-wife knew better than to ever bother me while I was mowing the lawn because I was in a zen state. That I said, you know, the kids knew that if mom was doing something and fell down and broke her arm and I was mowing the lawn, that they were not allowed to come and get me until I was, you know, until I shut the lawnmower off. And she even understood that. The woman that I thought was interested in me kind of like lost interest. It was just weird. What can I say? I'm a delightful person. I really am. I'm just, you know, when I mow the lawn, I'm in a zen state. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Today's show is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you've got roaches in your house and you want to see a video I made years and years and years ago, go to HelpIHaveBugs.com. That's HelpIHaveBugs.com. HelpIHaveBugs.com. Speaking of making videos, I'm working my way back into making videos. I used to make a lot of them. My son, when he was young, when Zach was young, like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, he's 23 now, he and I started learning how to edit videos together. And it was a cool experience. And we made a lot of really cool videos. And then, you know, we just stopped and you know, just things happened and it just sort of went away. And now it's coming back. I've got a really nice video camera, and I just got a really nice audio recorder. So I'm going to start doing this again. I got to reteach myself how to do all of this. Oh, hi, everyone. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek, and I am your chief geek. My name is Michael Kroos, and I'm here to answer questions. And the question that I am answering right now is a simple one. Yet somewhat complicated, but not really. We're going to make this real easy. I got a lady outside of Dallas. She's south of Dallas, she said. And they've got nothing but weeds. They bought the property. They've got 4,000 square feet of grass. They measured it up, or what, you know, they think is grass, but it's not grass. It's just weeds. And it looks terrible. And she wants to plug St. Augustine grass into it, which I think is a very good idea. And, you know, in St. Augustine grass grows in the South, and, you know, it grows really well in Texas. It grows well in Louisiana. It grows well in Alabama. It grows well in Florida, Southern California, Arizona, not so much Arizona. I don't know why, but I, you know, but somewhere out there. Anyway, this lady wants to do this, and she went and she priced out the plugs, and she says, how many plugs am I going to need? Well, let's get right into this because we don't have a lot of time. So let's talk about this. St. Augustine grass plugs generally come 12 to a tray. And you put these things here's what you do. First thing you do is you kill off the existing lawn using glyphosate, you know, Roundup, that evil stuff. But don't buy the Roundup, not because they're evil, but buy the generic version because it's a lot cheaper, okay? I buy the concentrate, you know, that I think it's 46% glyphosate. Look for that. You mix, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, it's been a while since I've done it, but you mix 3 ounces into a gallon of water and use a fan-type sprayer, a fan-type tip, and you get all of the weeds and existing stuff that are there. You spray it until you get it all wet, and you kill it off. And you wait like 5 to 7 days until it's dead. Then what I do, you know, by the way, that dead weeds and grass that's there, you don't take it out. You leave it there. It turns into an organic form of nitrogen, and it just makes your soil so wonderful and so good. So that's what you do. The next thing you go is you measure out 18 inches, say you got the driveway, you measure out 18 inches from the driveway into the yard, and you make a line of holes. Now, you can, the way I recommend this, you're doing a 4,000 square foot yard, is to buy an auger. They're available where you buy your grass plugs. As a matter of fact, they may rent you one. But I would get an auger that you put onto a drill, and I would drill the little holes where you're going to put the plugs. And you drill those, I go 18 inches apart on those, 18 to 20 inches apart. And I do a straight line. And then I move over 18 inches, and I do another line coming back, but I checkerboard them. I checkerboard them. By the way, once you start drilling your holes, and if you've got two people to do this, my brother and I used to plug grass for a living. I mean, we charged people to do this, and we did hundreds. We probably did 1,000 lawns, and we had it down to a science. He would do the drilling, and I would sling the plugs. And you'd be surprised. We could do a 5,000-6,000 square foot yard. He could have that thing drilled out in about 10 to 15 minutes. So it's not going to take long to drill the holes. All right? So that's the easy part. Here's the next thing, especially in Texas, that I recommend that you do. And by the way, what I'm saying works for any type of grass plug. There are Zoysia grass plugs. There are St. Augustine grass plugs. There are centipede grass plugs. There are buffalo grass plugs that you can buy. This works on all of these in different parts of the country. What I'm telling you to do, it works in all different areas of the country with the type of grass that is available in your area for plugging. So what I'm saying is correct. 18 inches apart, checkerboard them, go across. Now I prep the hole. Some people get really into prepping the hole. I don't. What I do is I take a 1 gallon pump up sprayer, fill it with water, and I put one cap full of Super Thrive. If you don't know what Super Thrive is, go to that Amazon place and look it up and buy just a little tiny bottle. Trust me, the difference is absolutely amazing. I have run gads of tests on plugging lawns where I apply the Super Thrive and where I don't. And the ones where I apply the Super Thrive, the plugs grow together literally 5 times faster. So what I do once the holes are drilled is I take that pump-up sprayer and I just go over the holes and shoot some into the hole. How much do you put in the hole? One, just like that. Not very much. Just get it wet. Get the hole wet. All right? And then I grab the tray of plugs and I start slinging plugs. I don't get down there and gently put each one in the hole. No. What I do is I walk and I pull the plug out of the tray, and I drop it into the hole. And it takes a little while to get good at this, approximately 3 minutes. If it takes longer than 5 minutes, perhaps you may have somebody else do it for you. But it takes about 3 minutes to learn how to do this and to be accurate and drop it in the hole. And then, instead of getting down there and gently just tucking it all in, I stomp on it. I just go step on it and squish it in there. You know, just treat it like the grass that it is. And I go, and we put in trays and trays and trays and trays very quickly, very, very quickly. And it's not that hard to do. Now, once you've done that, we go to phase two. Phase two is we've already prepared the hole using just the Super Thrive. Then, as soon as we're done, the minute we're done, we take a 10-10-10 fertilizer with a spreader, and we fertilize over the top. We just fertilize over the top. Then you water every day in the morning and in the afternoon for 10 days, or until you can reach down and grab one of those plugs and tug on it, and it doesn't come out. That means that the roots have taken. If you use the Super Thrive, that will happen very quickly. Fertilize every month thereafter until the plugs grow together. Life will be good. Today's show is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you've got roaches in your house and you want to see a video I made years and years and years ago, go to HelpIHaveBugs.com. That's HelpIHaveBugs.com. HelpIHaveBugs.com. My daughter wants to grow a vegetable garden. She wants to grow her own food, and she wants me to come out to the middle of Kansas to help her. Yeah, well, you know what? She's got three of my grandkids, and I have, well, any excuse in the world to have my grandkids crawling all over me, I'm all for it. Hi, everybody. This is Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am your chief geek, and my daughter, she's 32 years old now. God love her. You know, I remember I used to do the show at home, and when she was about, 8 years old, I was home alone, except she was there, and I had a studio in, you know, the one part of the house, and I was out there doing live radio, live call-in radio, okay, just totally live call-in radio. Cassie comes running into the room in a total panic. And I mean, I could tell that, you know, something bad had happened. And she said, "Dad, Dad, Dad," you know, and I looked at her. She goes, "There's a giant bug in the living room and you gotta come get it." And I said, "Cass, I'm right now in the middle of doing a nationally syndicated gardening radio show coast to coast, and I can't get up and go out and do that now." My whole audience is hearing her like in this total panic. I said, "But I'm going to commercial, it looks like in about 3 minutes and 11 seconds, and I'll be glad to come out then and take care of it." She goes, "You can't do that, I'm not gonna..." I said, "Cass, just come over here, sit down, calm down." And, you know, she goes, "It might go away, it's still on the wall, you gotta come out now." I said, "I can't come out now." And, you know, I spent the next 3 minutes and 11 seconds talking her down till I went to commercial, and then I went out, and sure enough, the bug was gone. I couldn't find it. Well, you know, I had to go back on the air in 2 minutes and 5 seconds, right? And she's saying, "No, you can't do this." And her friend Allie across the street is out playing in the front yard. I said, "Go hang out with Allie until radio's over and we'll figure this out." She goes, "Okay." And off she went. Well, now she's an adult. And in her young adulthood, she always said to me, she goes, "Oh, Dad, I want to grow my own food. I just want to grow my own food." And I said, "Cassie, do you know how hard it is to grow your own food?" She goes, "But you grow really good tomatoes for me, Dad." I said, "Yes, I do. Do you know how difficult that is?" And I, you know, we had a vegetable garden at the house as the kids were growing up, and it's a lot of work, you know. I mean, it is a lot of weeding and all of the, you know, it's a lot of work. Well, now she's 32 years old. She's got three young kids. She lives out in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. I mean, no, the closest 7-Eleven is 21 miles away. The closest grocery store is 35 miles away. So she has to, like, time everything. She wants to, you know, and she's got a lot of property out there, out in the middle of nowhere. They got a bunch of land. And so she wants to do the vegetable gardens, and she's serious. And she sent me, you know, pictures of the land. It doesn't look good. Nothing's growing out there. You know, when you see land that looks barren, and there's a lot of rocks and a lot of minerals and a lot of stuff. And I said, "Cassie, where's the closest vegetable garden that you know of?" She goes, "I don't know of any." I said, "Okay, you know, we're going to have to work on this." I said, "Here's what you need to do." So the advice I gave my daughter, I'm giving to you. But I'm not going to come to your house and help you. I'm going to go to her house and help her because I get to hang out with my grandkids. And nothing in the world is better than hanging out with grandkids. Okay, I will go out there in the middle of nowhere. And but anyway, here's the I said, "Here's what you need to do." I said, "You have an area plotted out where you want to grow the garden." And she did. She does. I said, "Okay, you need to go out there and you need a plastic bag and you need to scoop up about a quart of soil, a little bit from here, a little bit from there, a little bit from over here, a little bit from over there. Nice little composite, no rocks, just all I want is dirt. You need to take that dirt and go to the Cooperative Extension Service where you live." She says, "We don't have a Cooperative Extension Service." I said, "Yes, everybody has a Cooperative Extension Service." I went on that internet thing, and I found her cooperative extension service. I gave her the address. I gave her the phone number. I said, call them and see what it's going to take to get a complete soil analysis because you want to grow vegetable garden. I said, and why, you know, take the soil down there. And whilst you're there, ask them for planting guides of what grows in the soil in your county. She goes, Dad, that's a good idea. I said, I know. You know, I'm full of good ideas. And she says, wow. And I said, yeah. She said, you know, that's wonderful. And I said, okay, so that's what you got to do. So she has set out to go do that. Once we get the complete analysis of the soil, then we know where we are. Because if you're going to grow a serious vegetable, I mean, when I did a vegetable garden in my backyard at the other house, the first thing I did was pull up some soil and take it down to the Cooperative Extension Service. Even though I was pretty familiar with the soil, I still wanted a complete analysis because I didn't know what had been growing there in the past. I wanted to know, you know, is there a, you know, an overabundance of phosphorus? Is there not enough phosphorus? You know, they do all of the major elements and then they do the minor elements. They do the pH. They do all of this stuff. And from there, you know what you got, and they make the first thing that they make on as part of the report is recommendations for amending the soil. And it may be manure, it may be sulfur, it may be lime, it may, you know, whatever the analysis says, you've got to get the soil ready. I then said to my exquisitely beautiful daughter, I said, you need a rototiller. She goes, a rototiller? I said, yes. You know, and she's talking about a reasonably good size area. I said, either that or you're going to be out there shoveling. She said, well, I'll be out there shoveling. I'm not going to buy a rototiller. I said, okay, I didn't buy a rototiller anyway, you know, for our garden at home when you were young. I said, but you know, we went out and shoveled it over. And do you remember how long that took? Because you helped. And she goes, yeah, I do remember that. I said, do you want a rototiller now? She said, no, I got friends. We'll do it with shovels. I said, okay. Once we get the soil analysis back and we know where we stand, the next thing we have to do is we got to go out there and we got to turn that soil all apart. We got to make it as loose as it can. We've got to aerate it. We got to go out there with shovels, dig everything, pitchforks, poke holes in it. We just got to go out there and tear the soil apart. A rototiller would be really good. Now, when I get out there, I'm going to find a place that rents rototillers, and we're going to rent a damn rototiller, and we're going to go out and just do this, okay, which is what I should have done at my house where I live, where I had a much smaller garden instead of having everybody out there digging, but this is what we did. But I'm going to go, when I go out there, I'll rent a damn rototiller, and we're going to go out and zap up the soil. Then, after we do that, and we take the information that we have from the soil analysis, and we will then amend the soil. All of this has to be done like a week prior to planting, okay? And that has to be watered in and get settled around. Then we got to go in there and rototill it again and just, you know, or shovel it again, you know, just get it all stirred up in there, make everything wonderful. And then we take the recommendations of what we'll plant in that area and work really good. And at that stage of the game, we will make the decision to either buy starter plants or seeds. I'm going to recommend starter plants if they are available at a reasonable cost, simply because setting out seeds takes more time. I would rather get starter plants, but I've done both. I've done absolutely both. Now, she goes, well, what if the soil analysis comes back and they say, give up, we're done? I say, well, then we go to a different alternative. And at that point, that husband of yours that I don't like, did I just say that out loud? Anyway, has to build us raised beds. And once we get that soil analysis back, which we're going to have real soon, we'll determine if we're going to do raised beds. And if we do raised beds, understand you have to shrink your expectations as to what the garden is going to be. And then we create our own soil to put in the raised beds, and we plant in, you know, and I said, it's probably going to be a better idea anyway. I said, do you remember the earth boxes that I used? That was, you know, considered like a raised bed. It was a separate container garden that I would grow you the best tomatoes you ever ate because you have control of everything. In a raised bed, if you've got terrible soil and we make a raised bed, we've got control of that soil. And we've got control of a lot of things that we can do. and to take care of that. I've got the guy that used to live across the street just moved to Alaska. He is going, you know, he's like overwintering there now, and he told me it's freezing cold. We chat on the internet, but he's going to do raised beds this summer because he wants the speed that raised beds are going to give him as far as planting the plants and growing them. I think that's going to be the suggestion I make for my daughter. It might be a good suggestion for you, depending upon the size of property you have and everything else. But those are how you set up, or that is how you set up a garden at your house. This is Ask the Gardener. Today's show is brought to you by a very special website called HelpIHaveBugs.com. If you've got roaches in your house and you want to see a video I made years and years and years ago, go to HelpIHaveBugs.com. That's HelpIHaveBugs.com. HelpIHaveBugs.com. I got an email from a lady in Battle Creek, Michigan, who listens to me on the radio. And as it turns out, I went to school with her when I was in third and fourth grade at Culver Elementary, or it's called the Culver School, between Battle Creek and Hastings off of M37. And she remembers everything about me. I remember nothing about her, but she remembers everything about me. And she said that, you know, I know you, and she just goes on. And I thought that that was absolutely delightful that, you know, somebody out of my past who I, you know, and I was honest with her. I said, gosh, you seem, you know, in the emails. Well, then we spoke on the phone. She said, you know, if we talk on the phone. So I called her, and we spoke on the phone. And she wants to, well, here's the thing. She wants to grow marijuana. And I said, listen, I have a policy. I said, on the radio show and in real life, not to tell people how to do that. She goes, well, why? And I said, well, because I just, you know, you're not going to like me for this. I said, but I think smoking pot is stupid, and I think smoking pot makes you stupid. There, I've said it. I mean, I've said it a million times. You've all heard me say this. But that you take that away, I think that marijuana should be legal. I do, because it grows out of the ground. It's, you know, it should be legal. And medical marijuana especially should be legal. And because I have a deceased friend, an attorney who died a rather terrible death, but what made his life to where he could practice law up until the week he died, what made his life to where he had good quality, where his wife and him had wonderful quality of life together right up until he passed, was the fact that at this time he was illegally smoking marijuana. And he never went near this stuff. I mean, I've known this guy for years, never went near it. And it helped him, and it totally changed my mind, especially about medical marijuana. I used to be against medical marijuana. I was. I said, you know, I don't see the cancer patients out lined up, you know, crying for their medical marijuana. Well, you know, that's because I wasn't looking. And once I looked, and once somebody I knew, and a couple of people that I knew found great relief in cannabis, I said, okay, that's fine. I'm for it. I'm all for it. And the state I live in passed the law. I think, you know, 80-some% of the voters said, we want medical marijuana. And I said, that's good. Now, if they come back with another one saying we want recreational marijuana, I don't know. No. And I don't teach people how to grow marijuana. Well, I guess this nice young lady that I went to school with was not happy with me about that. She just was not happy about that. She goes, well, can I ask you a couple of questions? And I said, no. I said, you know, we can talk about, you know, kids we went to school with. We can talk about the logs that were out in back of Culver's school. We can talk about our bus driver. We had a weird bus driver. We can talk about him. I said, but we, you know, I'm just not going to, I just don't feel comfortable having the conversation with you about how to grow marijuana. And I have been doing this nationally syndicated show for 33 years, and I have never told anyone on the show how to grow marijuana. One of my former producers, Scotty, who was with me for a long time, he's now in heaven, God rest his soul, went around my back, and there was an adult magazine called Penthouse. I don't even know if it still exists, but they advertised this hydroponic growing system in it that was designed to grow marijuana. And this was many, many years ago. And he uses the radio network I work for at the time, Letterhead, and types a story. And he says, I am the executive producer of Michael Gross's gardening show, and we wish to have one of these units. These things were not cheap. These were like $600 or $700. He goes, we would like to have one of those to review and to check, and we will, you know, interview someone on your show about it after we have tested it and, you know, did all of this. I knew nothing about this. And sure enough, this thing showed up at the network. And Scotty took it home. And he calls me up and he goes, you got to come over to the house. I said, why? He said, you got to come over to the house. I went over to the house. He goes, look what I got. I said, you bought that? He goes, well, no, you actually requested it. And I'm going to grow vegetables in this thing. And you're going to review it on the air. I said, no, I'm not. And I said, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, I was furious with him. I said, listen, I said, number one, don't ever do this again. And number two, they better not be expecting me to do anything about this thing on the radio. And he looked like he was in a panic. He said, you got to at least say that it works. He said, how about if I grow, you know, macadamia nuts or something? I said, you can't grow macadamia nuts in that thing anyway. I said, you know, you can grow tomatoes in that. You know, grow tomatoes if you want to. But I said, if I find out, and you know that I will know, that you're growing pot in that thing, I said, you know. So we made this negotiated settlement that if he grew tomatoes in the thing, that I would review it on the air, but I would not have anybody from the organization on the show. I would just do a review. And the next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call at the network. I have to call this guy back at this company. And he says, well, you're the one who requested. I said, no, I didn't request this. My producer requested. And I told him this honest Scott story. I said, I said, Scotty's growing tomatoes in it right now. And I'm going to go over and look at the tomatoes and I will review it on the air. He goes, well, we demand an interview. I said, well, you can demand anything you want, but you're not going to get an interview. But if it grows tomatoes successfully, I will do this. Well, guess what? Scotty couldn't grow a tomato if his life depended on it. And his life didn't depend on it, but his career in radio kind of did, because I was pretty mad. But he didn't grow the tomato at all successfully. I mentioned it on the air. As a matter of fact, told the whole story on the air. The company, by the way. You're listening to Ask the Gardener.